Psalms 31:19. O how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. The great goodness of God is extended to all who make a covenant by sacrifice. In essence, it is the sacrifice of one's life unto Christ. The great goodness will include the following and so much more. The glorious beauty of transforming salvation. The Comforter, the very baptism of the Holy Ghost. The magnificence of the mystery of godliness. The promises found in the Word of God in this life and eternal life. The benevolent instructions of God found in His Word. Absolute answers to all of life's dilemmas. The stripes of Jesus Christ that heal all our diseases. The angel of the Lord that encamps about the righteous. The promise and ever-present reality that today is the best day of my life and that tomorrow will be better, and the marvels and benefits of creation. Have you yet to discover the very fountain of life? Have you been born again, this time of the Spirit? Click on the Further with Jesus for simple instructions for instant entry into the kingdom of God. You will discover the great goodness of God. Now for today's subject. God said, Deuteronomy chapter 7, 1 and 2, When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations, greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. God said, Deuteronomy 20, verses 16 through 18, But of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites, and the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that they teach you not to do after their abominations, which they have done unto their gods, so should ye sin against the Lord your God. God said, Deuteronomy chapter 4, 5 through 8, Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great? Who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Man said, the Bible is irrelevant in today's enlightened society. Our great intellectual sophistication dwarfs its once preeminent position in man's history. Now the record. The Word of God does not give itself to the shallow, surface skeptics who utter disrespect for the Bible as demonstrated in their vacuous challenges. Those who approach God's Word with their ears bowed down in childlike faith begin to understand its bigness, but those vaunted in their smallness cannot see. This is God Said, Man Said, feature article 588 that once again proves the full veracity of Holy Writ. These articles are archived on this site in text and streaming audio and are offered for the edification of the children of God and as ammunition in the battle for the souls of men. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Thank you for coming. May the face of our God shine upon you with light and truth. England's Education Secretary, Michael Gove, wants to place a King James Version of the Holy Bible in every school. He believes it is the standard of morality that the world needs, but Richard Dawkins takes exception. Mr. Dawkins is a famous evolutionist and atheist and an enemy of the cross of Christ. This is the man who encouraged young people to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. In research on witchcraft, we discovered a witchcraft vow of entry, which was the vow of blasphemy. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Now you understand the method of their madness. In response to Michael Gove's effort, Dawkins responded in an article in The Guardian whose subheadline reads, "The good book should be read as a great work of literature, but it is not a guide to morality, as the Education Secretary Michael Gove would have us believe." In Mr. Dawkins' article, he challenged the morality of the Word of God. An example in particular was God's commandment to Joshua to dispossess the people who resided in the land that God promised the children of Israel. God directed them to utterly destroy the inhabitants of the land, Deuteronomy 20:16, "But of the cities of this people, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth." On the shallow surface, Mr. Dawkins appears to make a credible challenge, but closer examination tells another story. God was nation-building, and the effort began with Abraham, the father of faith. God was preparing a nation of righteousness where blessing would abound. He gave direct and specific commandments unto his people that would keep them from the hurtful lust of the disobedient. For example, by observing God's commandments, his people could say no to the following: no fornication, no children out of wedlock, no adultery, no homosexuality, no pedophilia, no gay marriage, no 70 million Americans with sexually transmitted warts and lesions, no syphilis, no gonorrhea, no Hollywood, no AIDS and other sexually transmitted diseases, no pornography, no alcoholics, no drug addiction, no covetous people, no theft, no rebellious children, no rape, no murder, no E. coli, no Ebola, no swine flu, no trichinosis, no, or very rare, premature death as a result of cancer, heart disease, kidney failure, sugar diabetes, no purloining, which means wasting time on the job, and theft, no slothfulness, and no stressed out people, etc., etc., etc. Psalms 144:11-15 reads this way: "Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. That our oxen may be strong to labor. That there be no breaking in nor going out. That there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." God was building a nation of righteousness, of right-living people. When we understand the habits of the people of Canaan, it becomes apparent why God commanded the total dispossession of these people. The Canaanites had two options: leave or die. The following excerpts are from various sources, and references are supplied at the end of this article. R.R. Wilcox, Senior Assistant Medical Officer, Department of Venereal Diseases, St. Mary's Hospital, London, Physician in Charge, Department of Venereal Diseases, King Edward VII Hospital, Windsor, had these statements to make concerning venereal disease in the Bible. "The diseases of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch in particular, have been reviewed by Brim in 1936, who also devotes considerable space to idolatry in the various gods of the indigenous tribes of Canaan. He considers that phallic worship was a common feature and that the frequent allusions to pillars, altars, high places, and groves support this. The oft-reoccurring worship of Baal Peor, or Balaam, is but one example, and such worship was accompanied by sexual excesses and perversions during which the wearing of attire belonging to the opposite sex was sometimes part of the ritual. The word Baal, in Hebrew meaning fructifier, is frequently used in matters concerning sexual intercourse. With the sexual act playing such a prominent part, it is to be expected, therefore, that the practice of such idolatry would be followed by retribution in the form of venereal disease." No such supposed references to syphilis would be regarded as tenable unless there were also some passages suggestive of the congenital form of the disease. These are not entirely lacking. The third commandment, stating that the iniquity of the fathers would be visited upon the children unto the third and fourth generation, is significant, especially as it immediately follows lines for beginning the bowing down to images. Even if third-generation syphilis is such a rarity, it may be argued that there is no other inherited disease sufficiently common to be preferred, especially as it concerns punishment for possible phallic worship. Among other deformed, including dwarfs, hunchbacks, and eunuchs, he that hath a flat nose was also banned from the tabernacle. This could be taken to refer either to congenital lews or tertiary forms of treponematosis. Hutchinson's teeth could have been meant when, after the Israelites had fallen on hard times, it was written, the fathers have eaten a sour grape and the children's teeth are set on edge. A macerated syphilitic fetus is suggested when Aaron, speaking of Miriam's leprosy, said, let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. The protracted results of the plague of Moab were evident in the days of Joshua, which it is written, is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed even until this day? End of quote. The following paragraphs are from an article titled The Doctrine of the Extermination of the Peoples of Canaan. The biggest problem that anyone has with the book of Joshua is the extermination of the people in the land of Canaan. Not just soldiers, but men, women, and children were all executed and often their cities burned to the ground. We are only told a few times for what crimes they are being executed, and this is not something which is emphasized. We do not actually spend time with the Canaanite family to observe their degeneracy, so we do not fully appreciate what God expects of his people. Rotherham, it is only when some adequate knowledge is possessed of the really obscene and bloodthirsty nature of idol worship in Western Asia that the mind is prepared to feel the full force of illusions scattered throughout the Old Testament. From the standpoint of religion, the major topics overlap a great deal. The sacred worship places for the Canaanite religions were brothels. Representations of genitals were openly displayed. They were male and female prostitutes who were a part of the worship ceremonies. Many of the peoples of the land had come from a Sumerian background. With regards to their religion, Durant writes, women were attached to every temple, some as domestics, some as concubines for the gods or their duly constituted representatives on earth. To serve the temples in this way did not seem any disgrace to a Sumerian girl. Her father was proud to devote her charms to the alleviation of divine monotony and celebrated the admission of his daughter to the sacred functions with ceremonial sacrifice and the presentation of the girl's marriage dowry to the temple. The gods who were worshipped demanded bloody human sacrifices. Moloch, the king idol of the Canaanites, as well as some of the other nations, demanded and received human sacrifices. Sons and daughters were sacrificed to Moloch. The way to combat cancer, when possible, is to completely cut the cancer out of a person's body. So it was with the Canaanites. Had they been allowed to live and to intermingle with the Israelites, they would have infected the Israelites with disease, with distorted morality, and with bloody evil religion. End of quote. Mr. Dawkins needed to dig deeper. God was nation-building. The people of Canaan were infested with highly contagious, incurable diseases and bloodthirsty idolatry, even to sacrificing children unto Moloch. The only solution was to dispossess the people of Canaan. God said, Deuteronomy 7:1 and 2, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. God said, Deuteronomy 20:16-18, but of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely, the Hittites, and the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done upon unto their gods, so should ye sin against the Lord your God. God said, Deuteronomy chapter 4, 5 through 8, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great? Who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments, so righteous as all this law which I have set before you this day?" Man said, the Bible is irrelevant in today's enlightened society. Our great intellectual sophistication dwarfs its once preeminent position in man's history. Now you have the record.